foundation. You saints of the Lord, it is made for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said, to you who for refuge to Jesus have led.
Welcome to the Covenant and the Cross, a survey of the Old and New Testaments. The Bible commands us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Our goal is to help you understand the Bible better so that you can apply it to your life. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book we are using, The Promise and the Blessing by Dr. Michael A. Harbin. The book is available on our website for just $20. You can make your purchase today at covenantandcrosspodcast.com. Now here's your host, Daniel White III, the president of Gospel Light Society and Torch Ministries International.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Covenant and the Cross podcast. This is episode number 97. This podcast is designed to help you better understand the Word of God, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is the story of the covenant which God made with His chosen people, Israel, and the New Testament is the story of the cross, which signifies the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant with Israel, and the formation of a new covenant with redeemed people from many nations. We always, of course, like to start out reading the Word of God itself. And today's passage of Scripture is Joshua 24:20, which reads, "If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that, he hath done you good." Regarding this passage, Dr. R.C. Sproul notes in the Reformation Study Bible, "Joshua tells the Israelites that God's dealing with them will change from grace to judgment. But in another sense, God never changes, since his promise has always included the threat of judgment." Today's Covenant and the Cross quote about the Bible is from Soren Kierkegaard. He said, "When you read God's Word, you must constantly be saying to yourself, it is talking to me and about me." Our topic for today is titled, "Joshua Fit the Battle of Jericho and Hazor 2, Part 3, from the fine book, The Promise and the Blessing by Dr. Michael A. Harbin. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast and you appreciate what we're doing here, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Promise and the Blessing by Dr. Michael A. Harbin. It is available on our website for just $20. We will continue looking at Canaanite religion. While El, Baal, Asherah, and Dagon were the four key figures in Canaanite pagan worship, the Canaanites had a pantheon of at least 70 gods, little g gods and goddesses. It appears that the pantheon was also growing, although it was by no means as large as the pantheon of Egypt. Overall, the picture of the little g gods and goddesses of Canaanite religion had degenerated into a soap opera with incestuous relationships and other abominations set forth in the pantheon. Of course, these were supposed to be to rather represent the higher ideals that guided the people. The abomination showed up in the methods of worship, which were probably the most significant cause of judgment. From the Old Testament data, we see that several reprehensible practices dominated their religious rituals. We do not have much written material from other sources that show how the Canaanites performed their rituals, but some of the archaeological data from Palestine corroborates the existence of these practices. One of these practices was self-mutilation. The idea behind this ritual was that a worshiper showed sincerity by cutting or otherwise mutilating the body. It appears in the Old Testament during the contest between Elijah and the priests of Baal, when the latter slashed themselves with swords and spears, as was their custom. Religious prostitution was another abominable practice mentioned in various passages. Sexual relations in the sanctuary were connected with the fertility rites, demonstrating a concept sometimes called sympathetic magic. Practitioners believed that through the practice of ritual prostitution in the temple, the little g god of goddess or goddess, the little g god or goddess, would have pity on the people and send rain to cause the crops to grow. It was an overt attempt to manipulate the deities, so-called. A third Canaanite ritual was the sacrifice of infants. This custom is talked about in Leviticus 18:21 and is also mentioned in 2 Kings 23:10. The prophet Jeremiah condemned the people of Israel for adopting this reprehensible practice. Cleitarchus, a Greek writer from about 300 BCE, wrote that the ritual involved taking a hollow metal idol dedicated to one of the Canaanite liturgy gods, such as Molech, the liturgy god of fire, also known as Bel Melech, filling it with flaming coals until it was red hot, then laying the infant on the sizzling outstretched arms of the idol as a demonstration of piety. This practice of infant sacrifice seems to have brought on the final judgment. The conquest of the land of Canaan must be viewed within that context. What about Canaanite monotheism? The Canaanite evidence points to a prehistoric worship of El, apparently as soul liturgy god. El is the same word the Hebrews use for God, big G God, although the Hebrews more commonly used Elohim, the plural form of El. This is not too surprising, for Canaanite and Hebrew are related languages. While many scholars see the worship of El as evidence for a developing, evolving monotheism, the overall evidence seems to show a culture that was turning from the worship of God, that is, El, to an increasing polytheism. This development correlates with the biblical evidence we saw earlier. Melchizedek, a Canaanite, served El Elyon, God Most High, but apparently later generations pushed El aside and began to serve a multitude of other little g gods. And Lord willing, if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we will continue this topic in our next podcast. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to follow the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and help us to not get caught up in paganism in any way, shape, form, or fashion, and help our children to avoid that as well, and help us to serve you and to love you with all of our hearts. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. So, dear friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and you want to get to know him today, all you have to do is believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and you will be saved. For the Bible says in the book of Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Until next time, my beloved, please remember, the Word of God is the foundation to a successful life. May God bless you.
Thank you for listening to The Covenant and the Cross, a survey of the Old and New Testaments. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we are using, The Promise and the Blessing, by Dr. Michael A. Harbin. The book is available on our website for just $20. You can make your purchase today at covenantandcrosspodcast.com. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to The Covenant and the Cross on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcast, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. God bless.
You look for